Brendan woke late the next evening. He frowned as he stood in the main room of John Walker's suite, staring through the French doors at the dark sky outside. He hadn't slept until full dark for some time. He was usually up and dressed by dusk, one of the first ones out of his suite. It was a habit left over from life as a human. Years of being woken up for church services or early classes. John was long gone, no doubt dressed and downstairs by Beckett's side before Brendan's eyes had even fluttered open. Waking had been disorienting, to say the least. Brendan had gotten used to waking in the same bed, in the same room, night after night. John's suite was decorated in greens and browns, nothing at all like the burgundy and black of his own rooms. Even the bed linens felt different against his skin, so noticeable that he'd run his fingertips against them for long moments, in a manner anything but subtle. "You could always go back to your own room," John had said. His voice was thick with sleep, but Brendan could sense his amusement, knew he was being laughed at. "I can smell him on you." Brendan's fingers had stilled against the bedclothes, but he didn't bother to point out the obvious reason why going back was impossible. It would be stupid to put that much trust in one human boy, to give Ryan that much power over him. Brendan was vulnerable during the day, and he didn't feel the need to test the limits of Ryan's good behavior. Sex and fear-induced dependency hardly guaranteed loyalty. Not at this stage, at least. There wasn't any more conversation after that. John had quickly dropped off to sleep, while Brendan lay awake for quite some time, trying to ignore the way his fingers itched to feel a warm skin, a beating heart, the steady rise and fall of a chest drawing much-needed breath. Brendan turned away from the balcony, the need to get moving urging him to hurry. He was halfway down the corridor, heading for his own rooms to change out of his wrinkled clothing, when a commotion downstairs caught his attention. Abandoning his plan, Brendan turned sharply, making his way toward the staircase that led to the entrance hall. Siska and two young dandies were standing at the door, watching as a human messenger made his way from the gate to the front steps. "He was incredibly slow," Brendan thought with impatience, as he leaned against the banister. The package tucked beneath his arm, a narrow, rectangular box. Didn't even look particularly heavy. It looked like a shirt box, wrapped in brown paper and tied with twine. It was the twine that caught Brendan's attention. It was probably nothing, he told himself. There was really no reason for him to stand around like one of the youngsters at the door, still fascinated by everything around them. Still, Brendan found himself unable to move, his fingers curling tightly around the polished wood under his hand. "A package," Ryan had muttered in his sleep. He curled up on his side, one bony little knee making almost painful contact with Brendan's naked hip. He ducked his head, pressed his face against Brendan's shoulder, and sighed softly, tied with double knots that hurt his fingers. Brendan had brushed it off as a normal sort of dream. Ryan certainly hadn't seemed in any distress. But as the courier came closer, Brendan found himself holding his breath as he strained to get a better look at the package he carried. "Package for Beckett W," the courier said, as he finally made his way up the stone steps. His expression was bored, and he snapped his gum as he held out an electronic pad to be signed. Brendan was moving before he realized it, pushing Nate and Michael away from the door and taking the stylus from Siska's hand. He ignored the glares he could feel against his back and signed his name with a scrawl. The courier shoved the package into his hands before turning away with a muttered, "Later, dude," that ordinarily would have had Brendan shaking his head. Now, though, his attention was on the neat little bow in the center of the box. It was tied with a double knot. "I'll take that, Brendan," Beckett said, hooking his chin over Brendan's shoulder. Brendan felt the package slip through his fingers as Beckett pulled it away. "It didn't have to be anything bad," he reasoned. "Ryan's first visions were innocuous little things. The book a customer would ask for. Something Spencer would order for lunch. There was nothing to worry about." He forced himself to turn around and close the door, to step away from it and watch as Beckett cut through the twine and ripped open the paper. Soon enough, the lid joined the rest on the floor, and Beckett pulled the contents out of the box. It was a hoodie, dirty with mud kicked down one side. A bat was embroidered across the front, and even if Brendan hadn't recognized the symbol, he certainly would have recognized the scent that clung to the inside of the sweater. There was, after all, only one vampire who hunted his own in their city. Pete. Brendan watched as Beckett's fingers tightened around the hood, his knuckles going as white as the well-pressed shirt cuffs that peeked out from under his jacket. It was Beckett's only outward reaction, though the eerily composed look on his face told Brendan volumes. He didn't know half of what had gone on between Beckett and Pete. Nothing, really, beyond the fact that Beckett had felt considerable insult at Pete's desertion. But in that moment, Brendan knew that there was something else at work. Something deeper they hadn't been meant to pick up on. Beckett's movements were slow and drawn out as he reached for a small white triangle that stuck out from one of the sweater's front pockets. It was a slip of paper folded into quarters. Beckett smoothed it out, and Brendan had to raise himself up on tiptoes to see the image with the way it was tipped toward Beckett's body. It was a portrait, an incredible likeness that had Pete's face lovingly reproduced in shades of black and gray. Brendan wondered if it had taken hours of observation to complete, or if the artist had been able to recreate it from memory. Gerard had signed his name to the bottom, with a flourish and a heart. The paper crumpled in Beckett's long fingers, the violent motion at odds with the still expression on his face. Beckett threw the paper to the ground and pushed past Siska and the others who'd gathered at the entryway. "Stay," he growled, as he threw open the door, stopping everyone who'd moved forward with him. Brendan hesitated a moment, shifting his weight from foot to foot before finally making a decision. He dashed outside after Beckett, jumping down the stone steps at the front of the house before taking off at a run in an effort to keep up. Beckett could lose Brendan in an instant if he wanted to. He was one of the few who were able to move from place to place in the blink of an eye. He couldn't go far, but he could do it often enough before he tired that Brendan wouldn't have been able to pick his trail back up again. Truthfully, that wouldn't be all that difficult. Brendan was hardly a tracker. Not that he regretted it much. His own gift provided him with an incredible amount of fun, and he wouldn't trade it for anything, not even in those first difficult weeks, when he had to learn how to use it with any kind of consistency. Beckett had been patient then, giving him opportunity after opportunity to get it right, offering patience when Brendan lost his, encouragement when he needed it most. That Beckett was allowing him to keep up, whether he realized he was doing it or not, left Brendan incredibly grateful. He kept a respectful distance, being close enough to lend assistance if Gerard showed up, but staying far enough away to give Beckett the illusion of privacy. Brendan focused on the black sweater in Beckett's hand, watching as it whipped back and forth with the speed at which he was running. The warehouse was a horribly dirty building, with several cracked windows on the upper level. Brendan didn't know if it was dandy sensibilities that made him shudder, or if it was simply common sense. He paused on the sidewalk down the street, watching as Beckett slowed his pace, adjusted his hat, and folded the hoodie over his forearm. None of them could enter the warehouse uninvited. The three human hunters had made it their home once Pete had returned to them. So Brendan stayed where he was, leaning against a lamppost, waiting for Beckett to make his presence known. It didn't take long for the front door to fly open and for Pete to come out, one of his hunters, the fair one with his ever-present baseball cap, hot on his heels. A large scrape ran down the side of the human's face, still too nude to have scabbed over. His hands were similarly marked, and there was a wariness on his face, something more than he usually wore when dealing with Beckett. He stood next to Pete, resisting when the vampire tried to step in front of him. Beckett watched them quietly, one hand absently petting at the sweater over his arm. Brendan watched as Patrick's eyes were drawn to the movement. "Now, Peter," Beckett drawled. The tone was so normal that Brendan was almost able to forget the last few minutes had even happened. "You don't have to mail me things to remember you by. You know you'll always be welcomed home, no matter what." Brendan didn't know what reaction he'd been expecting, but it certainly wasn't for Patrick to take a step forward, to direct a glare so spectacular at Beckett that Brendan could practically feel the venom behind it. He was vaguely impressed. "If you don't want a memento, asshole, then don't send people to jump me in the street and then steal my clothes," Pete hissed, grabbing hold of Patrick's shirt and forcing him backwards. He grabbed the human's wrist after that, squeezing tightly before letting go. Brendan could see the white imprint of his fingers before blood rushed up under the skin, coloring the pale area with angry red lines. It had been a warning, a way of asserting claim and demanding obedience. Patrick looked mutinous. It was a look Brendan had seen in Ryan's face more than once. "If I was going to send someone after you, they'd hardly be after your clothing, Pete," Beckett said, looking pointedly at Patrick, who was rubbing his wrist against his hip. Something in Patrick's hand caught the light of a nearby lamppost, and Brendan realized it was a vial of water. Holy water, more than likely. He moved closer, but still kept some distance between them. If Beckett was unconcerned with the weapon, it wouldn't do to second-guess him. "If it walks like a dandy and dresses like a dandy, it's a goddamn dandy," he growled. "Well, thank you for reducing us to a children's primer," Beckett remarked. "But parents might object to the obscenity." "This is your city. You're seriously claiming not to know anything?" Patrick asked suspiciously. Beckett threw his head back and laughed. "Your faith in my omniscience is flattering," he said. "Maybe I'll keep you yet." Brendan could hear Pete's growl low in his throat and couldn't help but be reminded of Beckett's habit of taking an interest in other people's pets. "If they weren't yours, then who do they belong to?" Pete challenged. "I very much doubt that Gerard would say he belonged to anyone," Beckett replied. "Well, I suppose Gabriel would be his keeper." "We stay close to home," Pete pointed out. "Yes," Beckett sighed. But sometimes even we like to visit Peter. We are, after all, meant to be one big happy family. He smiled sweetly. And I can hardly blame him for wanting to see what you hide under those hideous clothes. I seem to remember a lot of rather nice ink. There was a cracking noise, followed by a low hiss of pain from Patrick. His fingers had tightened around the vial until the glass shattered in his hand. It didn't take long for the scent of blood to hit Brendan's nose, reminding him that he hadn't fed yet. He took deep, even breaths and told himself that he wasn't a slave to his hunger, that he could wait until a better opportunity presented itself. Beckett laughed, leaning forward to take a deep breath, even though he could smell the blood just fine from where he was. "Don't you smell good?" he said, smiling wide enough to flash his fangs. "It must be hard to resist it," Beckett said, turning back to Pete. "I know what the hunger is like when you're so young. The ache in your teeth, the need in your belly, the constant want versus the need to be good." Beckett paused for a moment before leaning in a little closer, as though he were about to share a great secret. "You're going to give in to it eventually. Everyone does. But if you do it sooner rather than later, maybe, just maybe, you won't tear his throat apart when you do. Not even our blood can heal that." Pete struck out, though the movement was hardly unexpected. The tension in his body, particularly along the lines of his shoulders, had given him away long ago. Beckett easily deflected the punch, using Pete's momentum against him. He pressed the heel of his boot against Pete's back, holding him down while Brendan was easily able to keep Patrick in place from where he stood. "Have a nice evening, Pete," Beckett said, as he dropped the hoodie on the sidewalk next to Pete's head. "If you get lonely, you know the way home." He lifted his foot and watched as Pete scrambled back to his feet, most of his attention fixed on Patrick, who was still in Brendan's thrall. Beckett took his time as he walked away, his hands in his pockets as he whistled a leisurely tune. He paused as he saw Brendan, looking at him as though for the first time. Brendan had to stop himself from looking down and scuffing his shoe into the ground. He'd slept in his clothes last night and hadn't changed before pursuing Beckett. "You look ridiculous," Beckett said, sounding incredibly scandalized at the very thought that one of his dandies would dare leave the house in such a state. "Oh, now, honestly, Brendan, I know for a fact that you weren't raised by wolves because I did it myself." As Beckett all but marched him back to the safe house, making him feel like a delinquent child, Brendan supposed it could have been worse. No one was ever allowed to see William Beckett in a vulnerable state, and he'd come closer than most. Ryan was sitting up against the ornately carved headboard, a pillow folded at the small of his back, when he heard movement in the other room. It was well past sunset, and Ryan told himself that it was ridiculous to be annoyed that Brendan hadn't made him any promises. Even if he had, there was no guarantee that he could keep them, or that Ryan could even trust his word. It was a little upsetting that Ryan had to actually remind himself of that. There was a time when his suspicious nature would have taken care of it automatically. There were voices on the other side of the door. Brendan, whose voice was low and placating, and Beckett, who was obviously delivering a lecture. Ryan couldn't make out their conversation, but from the tone of the low murmurs, He could guess that Brendan had committed some small infraction. Something not so serious as to actually irritate Beckett, but enough to warrant discussion. Beckett's voice slowly trailed off, and the handle to the bedroom door began to turn. Ryan tossed aside the book he'd been paging through and scrambled out of the bed, doing his best to ignore every twinge and ache as he slid off the mattress and onto his feet. He stood awkwardly next to the bed, unsure of what to do with his hands or even how he was supposed to act. Should he move across the room to stand by the dresser? Should he lean casually against the wall? Ryan had no idea. All he knew was that he didn't want to be in the bed. That might give Brendan ideas, and Ryan's traitorous mind sure as hell didn't need any encouragement. Not when it kept reminding him of the feel of warm skin against the inside of his thighs, of pressure and pleasure and coming so hard he was nothing more than a fucking quivering mess. With a scowl, Ryan shoved his hands into his pockets and stayed where he was. There wasn't enough time to move anyway, he told himself as the door to the bedroom slid open and Brendan stepped inside. He was wearing the same clothes from last night, and they were so wrinkled that he'd obviously slept in them. That surprised Ryan. The dandies were all about appearance, and the fact that Brendan had let someone else see him dressed that way was completely at odds with the image he held in his mind of who Brendan was. No wonder Beckett had felt the need to intervene. "You're awake," Brendan said, though he must have known that already, with the noise Ryan had made climbing out of bed. His book had bounced off the mattress, hitting the nightstand before falling to the floor. He hoped that Brendan didn't notice it was one of the older ones in his collection. "Yeah," Ryan replied. He still felt awkward. It was all he could do to avoid pulling at the hem of his shirt. He fisted his hands in his pockets, just to be sure. "I thought you might still be in bed," Brendan continued. He closed the door behind him and came farther into the room. "No," Ryan said, shaking his head. He made himself take deep, even breaths as Brendan came closer, a small smile on his face. It was unsettling, but then Ryan supposed it was meant to be. "So that wasn't you I heard then?" Brendan asked, his smile growing wider with every step. "It was someone else entirely?" "Must have been," Ryan said. "Look at his eyes, look at his eyes, look at his eyes," he told himself. It worked for a moment, but then his eyes dropped down to Brendan's mouth, to that stupid, sexy smirk, and he forgot the point of it all. The kiss was nice, slow and deep, nothing like the frantic kisses from last night when he'd been more than a little desperate, and Brendan had kept him that way. Now Ryan got to take his time, to try things they'd done before in the hopes of getting the same reactions. His eyes fell closed as Brendan walked him backwards, pressing him against the wall, one hand on the small of Ryan's back. The other rested on his hip for a moment, before Brendan dragged it backwards, his strong fingers digging into Ryan's ass. Ryan gasped at that, pulling away from Brendan's mouth and drawing in a stuttering breath. "I can still feel it," he said softly, torn between arching away from the contact and pressing back into it. His eyes fluttered open for a moment, but looking at Brendan was just too hard. His eyes fell closed again as his hips rolled backwards, making him gasp once more. Two fingertips grazed his bottom lip, stroking gently until Ryan opened his mouth. He remembered what to do, knew from last night exactly what was about to happen. Ryan felt his face grow warm. It was that. And not the way his tongue curled around Brendan's fingers, or the soft, obscene noises he made as he sucked. that embarrassed him. "I knew you would," Brendan said, picking up the conversation that Ryan's mind had so long ago lost track of. "You were so good." He pulled his fingers from Ryan's mouth for a moment, before pushing them back in, far enough to make Ryan gag and arch back a little. "We don't have time for this," Brendan continued in a low voice. Ryan made to pull away, but Brendan's hand on his back kept him glued in place. "Beckett's in the next room, waiting for me. He's listening, I bet." Ryan couldn't help the low moan or the accompanying blush that colored his cheeks again. "In fact, I know he's listening. I would be. But enough about him. Open your eyes and undo your pants, Ryan." Brendan didn't take his fingers from Ryan's mouth, and Ryan tried his best to keep eye contact as he unbuckled his belt and opened his pants with trembling fingers. His legs were spread too far, and he could only get his jeans down to mid-thigh. But that was far enough for what Brendan wanted. "You know what to do," Brendan said, as he pulled Ryan forward a little, with the hand still on his back. Ryan whimpered and buried his face in Brendan's neck as he wrapped his hand around the vampire's wrist, pulling the slick fingers out of his mouth. He guided Brendan's hand behind him, circling around the tight ring of muscle before pushing them both inside at once. It was a lot. The stretch hurt, but it reminded him of being full, of having someone else's weight moving above him, of being looked at and wanted. Brendan took over, and Ryan wrapped his arms around the vampire's shoulders. His open mouth was pressed against Brendan's neck, trapping his needy little moans against the cool skin there. The angle was wrong. Brendan's fingers weren't pushing deep enough. It was nothing like the night before, when Ryan had been on his back with his legs spread obscenely, Brendan lying pressed up against him. Ryan rolled his hips back into the pressure, sighing softly when those fingers slid in a fraction of an inch farther. The bang of the bedroom door being thrown open, the knob going clear through the plaster, cut through the haze in Ryan's mind. He jumped, arms tightening around Brendan's shoulders as he looked back at the door with wide eyes. Brendan pulled Ryan's arms away as he turned, moving to both cover Ryan's body and to put himself in front of the threat. Ryan's hands pulled frantically at his jeans, cursing when he couldn't get them up on the first try. "Beckett," Brendan said, one eyebrow quirked in question. Though his voice was calm, conversational even, Ryan could feel the tension in his body. He tried not to focus on the incredibly angry vampire in the doorway, and instead concentrated on buttoning his jeans. It took him 3 tries, and even longer than that to ease his zipper back up. "You have a lot of interesting reading material out there," Beckett commented. "Feel free to borrow whichever book you want," Brendan replied. "What about this one?" Beckett asked, holding up a spiral-bound notebook with a creased blue cover. Ryan's eyes went wide as soon as he recognized it. He tried to remember where he'd left it that afternoon, then blanched as he realized that it had been on the side table near the bookcase, left open to the last page he'd written in. His mind tried frantically to come up with a story, some way to explain away everything in it. He'd always suffered from nightmares. No, it was for a story. It was an assignment for school. Each explanation was worse than the last. He clenched his jaw shut and squeezed Brendan's wrist, trying to convey without words how much he hadn't meant for this to happen.
"Since I haven't seen what Ryan's written in that notebook, I'll have to take your word on whether or not it's interesting," Brendan replied after a moment. Would you care to hazard a guess? Beckett asked, as he flipped the book open, thumbing through the pages until he found the one he wanted. I'm sure you can figure it out without much effort. How many secrets can you possibly keep from me at once? There was no point in telling you, Brendan said. He pulled his wrist away from Ryan's too tight grip and made his way closer to Beckett. It's mostly just regular nightmares, like most humans get when they're marked. Anything that comes to pass is mostly useless events, and even that doesn't happen with much regularity. The ability is weak, hardly an asset. He was lying, Ryan thought wildly. He looked Beckett in the eye and fucking lied to him. Maybe they'd get out of this after all? The slap had Brendan stumbling backward, his head twisting painfully to the side. Ryan watched as the imprint of Beckett's hand bloomed across Brendan's cheek, and he couldn't help but wince at the way Brendan grimaced. You actually lied to me, Beckett said incredulously. And I'm not even talking about half-truths or sins of omission. You just looked me right in the fucking face, Brendan, and you lied. After everything I've done for you, everything I've taught you, given you. His fingers closed around Brendan's neck, not hard enough to hurt, but hard enough to get his attention. You're fucking lucky, boy, that I'm willing to forgive you. Now get dressed and get the fuck out of here. You can make my rounds tonight. Ryan and I have plenty to discuss. Beckett threw Brendan backward, sending him knocking into Ryan, who did his best to keep them both from hitting the wall. Brendan disentangled himself from Ryan's arms and walked toward the walk-in closet with his back held very straight, lines of tension clearly written across his body. Ryan darted a glance toward Beckett, who was standing with his arms crossed, a dark look on his face. Compared to that, Brendan's body language was practically inviting, and he hurried over to the closet, hesitating a moment in the doorway before stepping inside. Brendan was sliding a crisp white shirt over his shoulders, fingers quickly moving over the column of small pearl buttons. He then reached for a pair of tailored black slacks, sliding them up over his hips before working on the hook closure and zipper. I'm sorry, Ryan said. I didn't... Don't apologize, Brendan said sharply. He looked at Ryan with narrowed eyes for a moment, before turning his attention to a burgundy waistcoat, making short work of the buttons. Ryan's fingers twitched, wanting to be the one to do them up. I don't know what to do, Ryan said after another moment of silence, hating that he sounded almost helpless. Come here, Ryan, Brendan said, beckoning him forward with one hand. Ryan came quickly, fitting himself against Brendan's side, closing his eyes as Brendan's fingers. God, the same fingers! Slipped under his shirt to pet a bare skin. Brendan's free hand tipped Ryan's face up, fingers working at the hinge in Ryan's jaw, as though he had to be coaxed to open his mouth. He was about to sigh into the kiss, when all of a sudden his mouth was filled with the bitter, coppery taste of blood. He didn't fight it this time, just closed his eyes and sucked Brendan's tongue into his mouth, swallowing quickly, over and over. He didn't know if vampires needed to reclaim their people or not, but Ryan wasn't about to take any chances. Are you finished? Beckett asked, his tone sharp, patience almost gone. Ryan sucked hard and swallowed once more before letting Brendan push him away. Yes, Brendan said simply, and pushed past Ryan and Beckett both.
Brendan had never been messy when it came to feeding. Beckett had taken pains to teach him the proper way of doing things. 2 small punctures, no blood wasted, and no filthy stains down his shirt front. It had been his first lesson, and Brendan threw himself into it, eager to learn all there was to know about this new life he'd found himself in. He'd idolized Beckett, had listened to him with wide eyes and an eager smile, wanting so much to please him. Brendan dropped the body he was holding and watched as the man's blood gushed across the ground, soaking into the dirt. He took a step backward as the pool inched toward his shoes. It wouldn't take long for the human's heart to stop. He could already hear it stuttering, faltering in its rhythm as it fought to continue. It was a losing battle. Brendan's teeth had ripped cruelly and he'd drunk deep. He counted the remaining breaths his victim took, not at all surprised when the 5th rattled in his chest as he died. He'd grabbed the first human he found when he got to the park. The fact that he had long, slightly curly dark hair, long legs, and looked remarkably like William Beckett had simply been a bonus. He couldn't have done better if he'd been Carden, spending yet another night on the search for a replacement Tommy. Is he doing it again? Brendan looked up from the dead body at his feet to see John Walker standing beside him. He'd heard the other dandy as he made his approach. It would have been hard not to, since John obviously made as much noise as he could in an effort to avoid startling Brendan. Brendan figured John was sent to keep an eye on him, to make sure he didn't cause trouble while Beckett was interrogating Ryan. John's greeting, however, made Brendan wonder if maybe he'd misread the situation. "Is who doing what?" he asked carefully. "Don't play stupid. It doesn't suit you," John said, shaking his head in irritation. "Is he doing it again?" he repeated. "No," Brendan said with a sigh. "Ryan's been marked twice now. Beckett isn't that stupid." "He never taught you how to lie, did he?" an amused voice asked from behind Brendan and John. Both vampires turned quickly, finding Gerard standing several feet away, hands in his pockets and a friendly smile on his face. He seemed to be alone, but Brendan didn't trust that. He looked left while John looked right, searching for any small sign of Gerard's companions. "They're close by," Gerard agreed, "but they'll stay away. I'm just here for conversation." "Because that's what anyone would want under these circumstances," John said dryly. Gerard looked at him closely, his smile growing. "You're being rude, John Walker. I'll overlook it this time because conversation is exactly what you should be after right now, given your position. You and Brendan both, actually." "Just say what you have to say," Brendan told him. "We don't have the time or the patience for games." "Of course not," Gerard said. "You've got a full night ahead of you, I suppose. There are at least 4 other Beckett lookalikes in this city. I found them all, but I won't spoil the game for you. It's no fun if someone else tells you where they live." Brendan's eyes were involuntarily drawn to the dead man at his feet. "To answer your question truthfully, John, yes, Beckett is doing it again, because that's the sort of person he is. He'll be a little slower to act with Ryan because of the mark, but slowing him down is not the same thing as deterring him. But your poor boy, John, he isn't even marked yet, is he?" Brendan looked sharply at John, his head turning so quickly that he nearly pulled something in his neck. John hadn't been in town more than a few weeks, and most of his time, until very recently, had been spent with Brendan at Beckett's side. When had he found the time to collect a human for himself, especially when they'd all been told not to? "You know nothing," John said confidently, ignoring Brendan completely as he focused all of his attention on Gerard. "I know that you fucked him tonight," Gerard said easily, "and that he makes the sweetest sounds when you touch him, and that you got him to beg for it before you let him come." John was unfazed by Gerard's commentary, and Brendan couldn't blame him. All he'd made were vague generalizations. Nothing he'd said pointed to any actual knowledge of John's whereabouts that evening, or any evening before. Sex wasn't that difficult to come by, and there were any number of pretty things that were willing to play. It didn't have to mean anything. "I also know that you've got two choices, John," Gerard continued, his voice patronizingly sweet. "You can either mark him or make him forget you. Actually, that second option is really the better one, don't you think? As I've already pointed out, a mark is only going to slow him down. It's not going to stop Beckett from eventually taking what he wants." Gerard smiled, the expression sharp, vicious, as he went in for the kill. "Your boy does have such pretty blue eyes, after all." John's body tensed immediately, his jaw going momentarily slack before he snapped his mouth shut. "How long do you think it's going to take for Beckett to notice?" Gerard laughed. "I saw them from across the street." "Motherfucker," John hissed. He turned on his heel and disappeared into the darkness, moving so quickly that, if Brendan hadn't known better, he'd have sworn that John could vanish the same way that Beckett could. "That was a bit of a letdown," Gerard confessed, his eyes still trained on John's disappearing form. "Everyone said he was so hard to rile. I'm disappointed." "Yeah, well, we all have to deal with that from time to time," Brendan said testily. "Oh, Brendan, you're not really upset with me. You should just admit that already," Gerard said, sounding an awful lot like he was offering advice to a best friend. "No, I really am," Brendan said. Ryan's face came to mind, the dark bruises under his eyes, the exhaustion and confusion. Yes, he was definitely angry with Gerard. "But you don't have to be," Gerard told him. He took a step forward, but paused when he saw the wary way in which Brendan watched him. "We don't need to be on opposite sides in this, not when we're in similar positions." "There is nothing similar about us," Brendan said with a scowl. "Maybe there isn't yet," Gerard conceded. "And hopefully for you and for Ryan, things will stay that way. But do you really want to gamble on his future, Brendan? Does his safety really mean so little to you?" He began slowly moving forward again, his motions exaggeratingly slow so as to avoid any surprises. His hand came up, and his fingertips ghosted over Brendan's cheek. It still hurt a little, but he didn't allow himself any reaction. The mark was mostly faded, but there was obviously some trace that remained. "Is he really worth your loyalty?" Gerard asked. Brendan jerked his face away and took a big step backward. "Yes, I owe everything to him," he replied tersely, though whether Brendan was trying to convince himself or Gerard, he wasn't exactly sure. Gerard laughed at him, the sound harsh and mocking, grating on Brendan's nerves. "You're so incredibly stupid," he said, "and you'll pay for it someday." Brendan said nothing, only glared as Gerard shook his head and slowly began to back away, not wanting to give Brendan his back. Once he put enough distance between them, Gerard turned and his two companions came out of their hiding spot several yards away, waiting for instruction. "Let's go," Gerard called, obviously for Brendan's benefit. "Leave the idiot to his high ideals of loyalty and morality. He'll learn his lesson the hard way." Brendan pulled his hat down low over his eyes and stalked away in the opposite direction. He still had to make the rounds, check on dandy interests across the city. But after that, he'd have free time. There were apparently 4 William Beckett lookalikes in the city. He might be able to track them down before sunrise. When it came to feeding, Beckett had only one rule for his dandies. Clean up after yourself. Yes, they owned the police, but there was something so crass about dumping bodies in the streets, as though his gang were nothing more than common thugs. He didn't care what the others did, as long as his own practiced more discretion. Brendan let the body fall to the ground and stared down at the tangled curls that fell over the human's face. He'd been pretty in life, with nice dark eyes and a tall, willowy body. He'd known about vampires. I hadn't seemed in the least bit surprised by Brendan's fangs. But he hadn't fought to free himself after Brendan had forced him up against the wall of his apartment building. There were ugly scars on his wrist. A definite turn-off. Brendan would have turned and walked away had circumstances been different. But that mentally unbalanced human had borne too much of a resemblance to William Beckett. And so his days had been numbered anyway. To offer him a momentary reprieve would have been cruel. Brendan pulled out his pocket watch and glanced at the face. It was just after 4. He'd found his first look-alike by accident in the park fairly early in the evening. It had taken him an embarrassing amount of time to track the dead man's family, searching for those relatives who shared the family resemblance. Brendan wasn't much of a tracker. His abilities made it almost a moot point most days. What was the point in learning the skill when all it took was an idle thought to get what he wanted? Perhaps he should have kept up with his lessons. It would have made things much easier in the end. He was still staring at the corpse at his feet when he heard the sound of approaching footsteps. It was another dandy. Brendan would have known that from the footwear alone, even if he couldn't tell by the smell. Brendan turned toward the sound and was surprised to find Nate hurrying down the street. Nate was young, barely dead over a month, and, like Michael, the other fledgling, had been confined to the safe house since Gerard's arrival. Young vampires who couldn't yet control themselves were more of a liability than an asset, and nothing good could possibly come from putting them in Gerard's line of sight. Beckett had been adamant about that. Along with not adding to their babysitting duties by forcing everyone to drop their hobbies and human interests. If Nate had been allowed out, on his own at that, then something was wrong. "I looked everywhere for you," Nate said. He resettled the hat on his head, but left his tie askew. Brendan reached out and tugged it back into place. "You did you?" Brendan asked, dropping his hands to his side. He watched as Nate's eyes questioningly fell to the body on the ground, and waited for him to realize how impolite that was. It wasn't long before Nate's head jerked up again.
"You need to come home," Nate said. "Beckett sent everyone out to find you. It's an emergency."
"What kind of emergency?" Brendan demanded, though there could really only be one. He was halfway down the street before Nate could catch up. It was mean, really, to outpace him, but Brendan didn't care.
"I don't know," Nate replied.
It was a lie.
A bad one at that.
But it told Brendan something important. It was bad enough that Nate was afraid to be the one to tell him. Eyes narrowed and jaw clenched, Brendan paid the fledgling no attention as he hurried back to the safe house, deliberately leaving him behind, refusing to look back to make sure he was following. He didn't let himself think about what he might find, either. John Walker was standing on the front steps when Brendan returned home. He regarded Brendan with a carefully blank expression, nothing at all like the way he'd been at the park. In that instant, Brendan knew that the moment they'd had earlier in the evening was past. John would never again show that side of himself, and Brendan would never get to ask the questions that were still racing through his head. The realization disappointed him, not just because he was curious about the blue-eyed boy, but because he was certain that it had been the first and last time he'd ever get to see the real John Walker. "Upstairs," was all John said when Brendan passed him. It was an unnecessary comment. There was obviously only one place Brendan had to go. He found Beckett standing in the doorway to his bedroom, leaning against the frame as he stared at something on the floor. He moved aside when he heard Brendan enter the suite, giving him a clear view of the bedclothes, which had been kicked to the floor at the foot of the bed. As he moved farther into the room, Brendan saw that the bed was completely trashed. The pillows missing, and even the fitted sheet had been pulled out on one side. He was about to ask where Ryan was, when he heard a painful thump as the boy's foot kicked out at the bed frame. He was lying on the floor, eyes closed, fighting something Brendan couldn't see. "What happened?" he demanded, dropping to his knees next to Ryan. The "what did you do?" was clearly implied. The impertinence would have consequences, he knew, but at that moment they seemed far off and not worth thinking about. "He went to sleep like a good little boy about 2 hours ago," Beckett replied, returning to his spot in the doorway. "He's been doing that ever since."
"And you just left him on the floor?" Brendan asked incredulously.
He reached for Ryan's arm just in time to be hit in the face. If he'd been human, the punch would likely have left a deep bruise.
"I wasn't about to risk a black eye," Beckett said simply. "That's your responsibility."
Brendan sighed and grabbed both of Ryan's wrists in one hand, pinning them to the carpet above his head. Ryan continued to fight him, jerking hard against his grip, no doubt leaving bruises around his slim wrists.
"No,"
he whimpered, his head thrashing from side to side.
Don't make me."
Ryan's eyes moved quickly beneath his closed lids, caught in a dream. Brendan leaned closer, holding Ryan's head steady and murmuring softly in his ear, trying to wake him. It did no good. Ryan groaned as though he'd been hit, his back arching in a deep curve. He held that position for several long moments before he fell back against the floor with a heavy sigh.
"Christ, had he really been like that for the last 2 hours?"
Brendan thought. He looked back at Beckett, trying to decide if he'd lie about it. Brendan couldn't see any point in it. There was nothing to gain, so he must have been telling the truth. Brendan didn't allow himself to wonder about what had happened during the hours before Ryan fell asleep. "It's not usually this bad," he said instead. He smoothed the hair from Ryan's face, one hand coming down to cup his cheek, his thumb playing over the boy's parted lips. "You can thank yourself for that," Beckett said sharply. "What did you expect would happen with your childish display in the closet? Do you really think you've made things better for him, Brendan?" He pushed away from the door and came closer, standing over Brendan with a dark look on his face. Brendan deliberately didn't look at him, busied himself instead with putting Ryan back to bed now that he was between episodes. "He's been crying for the last hour, whimpering and begging. Do you think he'll thank you when he wakes up? You know better than anyone that we have to learn to control our talents, that it doesn't come naturally. Your dear Ryan had no way in hell of controlling what you gave him the first time, Brendan. And I have no idea why you didn't think of that. Oh, I'm sure you had grand romantic notions in your head when you marked him again. But all you've done is made it stronger. So really, if you were trying to make me lose interest in him, your plan backfired spectacularly." Beckett was right, and the realization stung. "I'll leave you to clean up your own mess," he said. "I expect you to tell me when he wakes up." Brendan had no intention of telling Beckett anything, but he wasn't stupid enough to think he'd get away with it. He reached for the bed covers on the floor and was trying to untangle them when Ryan curled up on his side, his hands moving up to cover his head. His eyes were once again moving beneath closed lids, caught in another dream. "Lies," he muttered. "Lies, lies, lies." His words trailed off as Brendan spread the duvet over the bed, tucking it in around Ryan's small frame. He sat on the edge of the mattress, watching as Ryan's hands opened and closed on the pillow next to his head, reaching for something Brendan couldn't see. He didn't strike out again, and Brendan allowed himself to hope that maybe the worst of it was over. He breathed a sigh of relief when, after a few moments, Ryan rolled over onto his side, grabbing one of the pillows and pulling it tightly against his chest. He lay quietly for a moment, the only sound in the room that of his deep, even breathing. Brendan ran his palm up and down the bony ridge of Ryan's spine, soothing him until he seemed to quiet down into regular sleep. Brendan stayed there for several minutes, watching the rise and fall of Ryan's chest, wanting to be sure that Ryan had settled down before he stood up. He was moving away from the bed, heading toward the closet to change, when Ryan grew restless again. His feet shifted under the blankets, and he began muttering to himself in a voice too low for Brendan to hear. It wasn't long before he began to shake, and then to lash out, one knuckle splitting open against the headboard. "What did I do?" Ryan yelled. "I won't do it again, just tell me! Why are you doing this?" He gulped in shallow breaths, struggling to draw air into his lungs as he cried. He kicked out as Brendan slid across the mattress, trying to restrain him. Blood from Ryan's split knuckle caught Brendan in the face, and for a moment he couldn't help the way his teeth ached at the smell. He closed his eyes, counted to 10, and somehow managed to hold on to the shreds of his self-control. He didn't go for Ryan's throat, but he couldn't stop himself from taking Ryan's wrist in his hand and licking at the cut on his finger. Brendan tried not to dwell on how good it felt against his tongue. Instead, he rolled Ryan back onto his side and crossed his arms over his chest, holding tightly to both wrists in one strong hand. He pressed himself up against Ryan's back, throwing one leg over both of the boys, effectively pinning him to the bed. He couldn't hurt himself if he couldn't move, and Brendan wouldn't be tempted to do something he might later regret. "Come on, Ryan, fight this," he said softly, his mouth pressed against Ryan's ear. He continued to murmur in soft, soothing tones, even though it did little good. When the sun came up, Brendan was still wrapped around Ryan's body. Ryan was still fighting him, going on about train cars, betrayal, locked doors, and bruises that would never fade. Brendan pressed his forehead against the back of Ryan's neck. Though he fought it, the day eventually won, dragging Brendan into sleep. Even asleep, he never did let go.